Welcome to the smooth jazz sounds of Victims of Fun. I'm your host, El Stevo, and we are here live at Mr. Fujiwara's Top Ramen and Jazz Club here in the Chiba District of Tokyo, right across from the Sailor Moon store. You can come down here to Mr. Fujiwara's for all your Top Ramen needs. And a bit of smooth jazz to go with it. As always, I want to thank the good folks at Anchor for providing the world's best podcast software. You can go to the Anchor FM website or download it from your mobile phone of your choice from the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. Install Anchor today. It's easy. All the tools are at your fingertips. You could be up and podcasting within 10 minutes, and they will distribute it to 7 of the finest podcasting hosts on the internet. You can make yourself some smooth cash podcasting about your favorite topics. So again, that's anchor.fm. And I'd like to thank the good folks at Blue for making such an incredible microphone, the Yeti Snowball, the exclusive microphone of Victims of Fun, and the good folks at Apple for building such a glorious Apple MacBook Air M1, which powers Victims of Fun. This is El Stevo, reminding you again, I'm at Mr. Fujiwara's Top Ramen Shop and Jazz Club. Oh my god, what a bunch of crap. Okay, I can't do that voice anymore. So we are live here at the ramen shop, and it's jazz night. It is jazz night here at Mr. Sick, you hear that? This is, I think Mr. Fujiwara is getting really serious about this jazz music ramen hybrid thing that he's building. I don't know why he just doesn't go all out and just turn this place into a jazz club. It's turning into more of a jazz club coffee shop type of thing than a ramen shop, but I don't know. I guess ramen has a very good profit margin. I mean, I don't know. So we got the piano player and the trumpeter, and there's a saxophone I see sitting over there. We got that going on tonight. And hey, you know, whatever, man. It's all good. It's all good. Any sort of musical expression is good for you. Hopefully this is not messing up my audio levels, because you never know what's going on here. At least they're not turning us into a cyberpunk or goth cafe or something. Yeah, at least there's a nice, you know, more subdued clientele here. You know, not that there's anything wrong with industrial or goth or anything, but, you know, it'd be noisier and it'd probably be impossible to podcast from here. You know, people say to me, how come you don't podcast from your house, or how come you don't podcast, like, somewhere else? Why do you come here? Well, first off, it's really good ramen, and he's got my favorite sake, and he lets me do this for free, so I don't actually pay for my ramen, and I don't pay for my sake, and in exchange, I always hype the ramen shop, and I have noticed it's getting a little more crowded as I do these things. So, you know, there you go. It's a mutually beneficial business relationship. I have somewhere nice to do my podcasts. Mr. Fujiwara gets free advertising. I get free ramen and sake, and he was able to afford to hire a full-on jazz group, which is what we got going here tonight. I guess every Thursday is going to be jazz night here or something. You know, I'm going to have to interview these jazz guys. That might be something I might do, like, for next time they're here. So normally, on Victims of Fun, you know, if you've followed this podcast for the 4 years it's been on the air, you know, I just do the stream of consciousness thing. You know, I talk about what I want to talk about with, like, no script. You know, I just go. I don't plan anything. But I kind of planned to talk about something tonight. So I have a lot of, lesbian friends. For some reason, I don't know why, I just do. Lesbians like me for some reason, I don't know why. Maybe because no woman wants me and I'm no threat or something. I have a gay friend too. And, it's funny, my gay friend is like the most conservative gay person on the planet. Like, I don't know. But anyway, so, you know, I have a lot of lesbian friends. And, all different types of lesbians. You know, I got a lot of tomboy lesbian friends, a lot of, you know, more, you see, I've never figured out if butch is a derogatory term or not. Some of them use it proudly, some of them don't like it, but whatever. More masculine-appearing lesbian friends, and I have a lot of what they call lipstick or femme lesbians that, you know, more female-looking, or whatever. You know, I'm not a lesbian, so I can't really comment on the whole, you know, identification thing. Anyway, so, I have lesbian friends. And there's a website called the L-Chat. L meaning lesbian. And it's supposedly a safe space for lesbians to go and talk about things that are important to the lesbian community. In addition to talking about their problems and talking about issues that affect them and advice and stuff like that. They have, you know, they'll talk about famous lesbian women and women who aren't lesbians but they wish they were. Hey, is this person a lesbian? You know, stuff like that. You know, there's websites like that everywhere that have nothing to do with lesbianism. You know, guys have their thing, you know, whatever. But the whole idea is, behind L-Chat, it's supposed to be a safe place, welcoming place for lesbians to go and talk about things without having to worry about men showing up and just, you know, causing problems or whatever. It's a safe space. Everybody's in the safe spaces these days. You know, whatever. If that's your thing. So this website, it's actually just L-Chat. I think it's just L-Chat. .com or whatever it is. You can Google it. So it's for lesbians, by lesbians, and for all lesbians. It's supposed to be a welcoming, inviting place. Yeah. So I have a friend, and I don't mention names because, you know, nobody wants their names mentioned, but I have a friend, and I don't know if she's a friend, more of an acquaintance type of thing. We talk on Facebook. And I've known her for a while. And, very, very kind-hearted, she's African-American, and she's a lesbian, she's been a lesbian her whole life, and she's rather big, she's a big girl, like plus size, like maybe quadruple plus size, I mean, she's big, okay, and, you know, whatever, that's your decision, that's, if you want to be that, that's great, it's not healthy. But, you know, if you're comfortable in your own skin, that's your business, not mine. I don't care. And nobody should. You know, unless it's from a health point of view, you know, you should care. Because, you know, to be honest with you, being that big is not healthy. But if the person is happy and grounded and has a great life, hey, great, whatever. Just, you know, just be careful. Watch the blood pressure and everything else. Do some cardio. So she is, what she describes herself, is a proud, plus-size, black lesbian woman of color. I don't know why she says black lesbian of color, because I think black means of color. I don't know, but this is how she describes herself. What is that? A double entendre? Not double entendre. It's repetitive. I don't know. Large? No. Her exact term is proud lesbian plus size. No, proud plus sized black lesbian woman of color. A black of color lesbian woman. I mean, you're kind of repeating yourself, but hey, cool. Whatever. And she's happy. And she's a good girl. And so she heard about Owl Chat and she went on it. Now, I've known about Owl Chat for a while, you know, having lesbian friends. And, you know, being a guy, I've never been on it. And even if I, you know, and I'm not the type of person that would create a fake account and go on there and troll, because that's their safe space. You're not supposed to invade somebody else's safe space. So she apparently, and this is what she told me, she went on Owl Chat, and she was, like, lurking. Lurking means you're watching and reading, but you're not participating because you want to get a feel for the place. And that's really on any discussion forum. It could be about World of Warcraft, it could be about anything. When you're lurking, you're watching and reading and getting a feel for the room. So that's what she was doing for a while. And then she said she noticed that the vast majority of the posters, the people posting, there were some peculiar things that she said were going on. Number one, she said they hate bisexual women. Like, they hate them. At least on L Chat. The lesbian friends I have don't hate bisexual women. They don't hate straight women. They don't hate gay men. They don't hate anybody. Maybe my friends are just really cool, but whatever. But on L Chat, they hate bisexual women. They hate them. There is a big hatred of butch lesbian women, that they're always making fun of them. They're always saying that butch lesbians are predators and abusive. I have a couple who lesbians who would identify as that, and they're not aggressive or what at all. They're like the nicest people in the world. It's like, I guess if you have a pit bull and you automatically assume this pit bull is going to rip your throat out, and then you realize pit bulls are actually probably the best dog to have as a family. It's all perception. It's all, something can look like something, but it's not. So anyway, so she told me she noticed L Chat has this big thing against bisexuals. And this big thing against butch-type lesbians. They can't stand them. They hate men. Or whatever. But not hate men as far as they're not attracted to them. Like, there are entire threads on L Chat of lesbians saying, how can we get away with killing men? Like, can we actually, is there a scenario where the entire planet could be populated by women and we wouldn't need men, they'd be all dead, and we could still populate the species? I'm thinking to myself, you kind of need a man for that, unless you're freezing like 20 billion gallons of sperm. Whatever. But they hate men. There are literally, she's telling me, dozens of threads of these women saying how much they hate men. I mean, they're even talking about their own fathers and brothers and stuff, and, like, whatever, okay. But she said she noticed that most of these posters, at least when they're talking about the famous actresses, and they're very big into YouTube lesbians type of thing. They profile them a lot, because apparently there is a big YouTube lesbian thing going on, but I'll be perfectly honest with you, most of them are scams, and they're not lesbians, they're just playing a part to get money, because that's just how it is. So, she said she noticed that most of the people that are being talked about on this website, and the pictures that people are putting up and everything, are of skinny white girls. A couple Hispanics thrown in. The most part, it was white, 98%, Hispanic, 2%. all thin, all beautiful. These were the threads and everything that were going on in El Chat, devoted to that type of body type, that type of ethnicity. So she decided to start a thread saying, hey, you know, there's no talk of plus size women or black women, and I happen to be both. And, you know, here I am. She posted her picture and she said, let's, you know, anybody who's a fan of this or anybody who supports this type of thing or whatever, fellow lesbians, you know, let's talk about some, you know, black lesbians and plus size lesbians. She immediately got attacked. The first 4 or 5 responses to her post were, you're a guy. No evidence, no nothing, just, you're a guy. She's not. Then she got a bunch of posts saying that nobody, that basically saying that there were no fat chicks allowed on LChat. And the last post she read, because then she got banned by the moderators at LChat for daring to post a picture of a large black lesbian, was, if I wanted to look at gorillas, I'd look at National Geographic. That was the last thing she read before they banned her. So she was on Facebook. She did a Facebook video talking about this, and she was actually crying. Yeah, she did, like, tears. Like, really, really crying. Because she said, you know, these are supposed to be my people. We're supposed to support each other, and they're only supporting a little segment of their own population. So I brought this up. I'm kind of Instagram friends with a very, very smart, very, very beautiful, outspoken, extremely badass woman named Ario Scarcella. Scarcella. Oh, excuse me, I mispronounced the name. And she's absolutely just incredible. She's really badass. I mean, she's pretty much everything. She's the perfect combo. She's smart. She's good looking. She's tough. She doesn't take shit from anybody. She will speak her mind, and if you don't like it, she will put her foot up your ass. She will give you the clothes off her back if you need it. She will talk to a complete stranger if they need help with something. You know, she, if you're ever going to design somebody that you'd say, that you'd hold up as an example of a good human being, it would be Ariel. Okay. No, seriously, it would. She, you know, it's, and she's, you know, she's actually verified on Instagram. You can go on her Instagram and follow her. It's Ariel _ Scarcella, Scarcella. She has her own YouTube channel, where she talks about a lot of really, 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 really important things. Her YouTube channel is just Ario Scarcella. She's conservative, she's a Trump supporter, and she's very much against the inherent elitism within the lesbian and gay community, because there's a lot of it. I guess that's true in every ethnicity or orientation, but Ariel's been a victim of it. And Ariel's been abused on LChat, and she knows it, and because she speaks her mind, because she doesn't fit this stereotype that they're looking for. No, LChat is a cesspool. Now, I did something normally I don't do when I said I don't invade safe spaces. I wanted to see what this is all about. So I got another lesbian friend who main account on LChat and together over the computer. We want an LChat because I wanted to see, you know, and she was simulcasting what she was seeing. And the amount of hatred and racism in stuff on LChat is just absolutely mind-blowing. They hate plus-size people. They hate lesbians who are basically would be considered butch. I'm sorry if that's the wrong word. That's the only word I know. They hate them. They hate men. All men. There are no... I've read threads where some other lesbians have jumped in going, you know, not all men are, like, bad. A lot of them support the community. No, all men should be killed. There were threads on there where... And I don't know how this website is still up. There were threads on there of posters calling for the assassination of, like, the previous administration in the United States. Like, literally calling for it. And those threads are still there. Secret Service, FBI, nobody ever investigated it, and that website's still up. Okay. Alright, there were people, they were talking about a certain Hollywood actress who was under the age of 18, talking about how they could convert her to be a lesbian. Okay, under 18. Under 18 years old. And they're talking about, you know, I don't care if she's, I think she just turned 17. Now, I'm not going to name her, because I don't do shit like that. But I'll give you a hint, she's in the number one movie in America right now. Okay? About a giant lizard and a giant monkey. And she's in it. And these people are talking about what they would do to her. And she's under 18. Has the website been shut down? No. Were these people being banned? No. My friend goes on and says, hey, we should be talking about, you know, hey, let's talk about some large black lesbians. Banned forever. Talking about an underage girl and what they do to her, it's okay. Making death threats against the previous administration in the United States, perfectly okay. Talking about how they could get away with killing a man in their lives, totally okay. And it just amazes the amount of hate and toxicity emanating from this website is just absolutely just horrific. Absolutely horrific. And this is the type of thing that women like Arielle and others have to, you know, go through. Because there's a lot of hate in that community. There's a lot of hate in every community. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a lesbian or if you're gay or whatever. Oh, and the other thing on this website, they hate trans people. They absolutely hate them. Hate them. I was reading a thread where this one woman was saying that anybody who is trans should be, like, killed. Okay, wait, are you serious? Killed because they're trans? Now, disclosure. I don't understand or agree with the trans lifestyle at all. I think it's wrong. I think there's something up with that, with you mentally for wanting to do it and mutilating yourself. But you know what? If you want to do it, I don't care. I'm not going to prevent you from coming in my bakery. I'm not going to raise a fuss if you move next door. You keep your stuff to you. I keep my stuff to me, and everybody gets along. That's pretty much how I am. You know, I cannot agree with and not understand something, but I don't want to kill the person over it. I don't want to ban it. These people straight up want to kill trans people. Okay? On LChat. You go on there right now and there's threads about it. But my friend gets banned because she wants to talk about larger black lesbians and, nope, if I want to see monkeys, I'll watch National Geographic. Boom. Banned her. And it's absolutely horrifying to me that there's so much hatred from a group of people who are constantly, at least in media, are claiming to be so oppressed and so picked on and so discriminated against, yet some of the most disgusting, vile, racist stuff I've ever read came from L-Chat. And it's horrifying because every lesbian I know in real life, every gay person I know in real life, nobody cares. They don't care what you do. They don't care who you are. They don't. At all. Nobody cares. And I'm thinking maybe the most toxic people on the planet only exist on this place and this L-Chat place. Because all the ones I've ever run into, nobody ever acted like that. But, you know, whatever. But it's horrifying. But you should give Ariel Scarcella a check out. Check her out on Instagram. Check her out on YouTube. She's very, very funny. Very, very informative. Hyper, hyper intelligent. Very easy on the eyes. I tell her that all the time. I actually told her today on Instagram, like, you know, I'd marry you if you were straight. In a heartbeat, I would. Seriously. And, she's got a lot of really good things to say, and her YouTube channel is full of a lot of funny things, a lot of informative things. One of the things I love about her the most is if you're straight or, and you have no idea about lesbians and their lifestyle and what goes on, she'd be more than happy to tell you if you ask. Now, see, a lot of times, like, try going up to a black person or an Asian person or somebody in a wheelchair and saying, hey, I'm not you. I'm not black. I have questions about, you know, the whole black experience. 9 times out of 10, these people are going, you know, and it's not just black people. 9 times out of 10, somebody black or Asian or Hispanic or Jewish is going to be like, what? Who the hell are you? But if you go up to Ariel and say, hey, you know, I'm a straight man, I'm a straight woman, I've always wondered some things about, like, lesbians. She'd be more than happy to sit down and tell you. And explain. You know, honest, legitimate questions. She'll sit down, she'll tell you. She's no problem speaking about it. And see, that's the type of thing we need more in the world. Because everybody's always ready to jump down everybody's throat. And everybody gets offended by everything. But maybe if people stop doing that and you just talk to each other, if you just have questions, just ask. Like, if you don't understand somebody's lifestyle, or if you don't understand their culture, or the struggles of where they're from, instead of passing judgment, why don't you actually go up to one of them and ask? And if you're the person being asked, don't get offended if the person who's asking you is legitimately wondering why and is trying to understand you. Don't jump down their throat. Answer the questions. Talk about your experience. Because, you know, the more you do that, the more people will learn not just our differences, but they'll learn what makes us the same. Now, seriously, I've seen YouTube videos where they take a white supremacist and a black guy, and they put them down at a table and turn a camera on, and the whole point of the thing is they want them to talk to each other. And you think it's going to be the most violent confrontation in the world, and then the white supremacist will start saying, okay, well, why in the black community is this, 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 this? And the black person will answer. And then he'll say, well, how come in the white community you're all like blah, 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 blah? And then the white person has to answer. And when you watch this type of video, these videos are out there, the question and answer session between the two, and they're just talking to each other, starts out really awkward and tense. And by the end of the 20 minutes or the 30 minutes, I don't know if they're editing these things down from an hour, by the end, they're all, like, laughing at each other. Maybe they're not friends, but they're definitely not enemies. And maybe we need that more in the world. No, seriously. You know, I'm on YouTube a lot just looking for inspiration and stuff. And there's a... I saw a YouTube video, and I should have highlighted it because I wanted to talk about it more. But it was about some tourists who actually went to North Korea. Because believe it or not, you can go to North Korea as a tourist. I know, at least in the United States, they don't tell you that, but you can. There's actually a North Korean tourism board. Now, you have a minder from the government that's with you the whole time, whatever. But you're allowed to take pictures, just not of military installations and stuff. But what I always found fascinating is that there's collections of people's tourist photographs from North Korea. And you would think that it would be this horrible, horrible thing. And maybe the country itself and the government is horrible, but the pictures that come back a lot of times of the people with the tourists laughing and smiling, and even the military people, the soldiers are like selfie bombing these people and putting the little rabbit ears up behind them and everything else. And it makes you think, you know, maybe if more stuff like that went on, maybe if people just talked and listened and tried to understand each other, you're never going to be friends with everybody. But you don't have to be you don't have to be enemies with anyone. You don't. Maybe if people just talk to each other more. Maybe if you just try to understand each other more. And even if you don't understand 100%, just understand a little bit. Because just understanding a little bit could be the difference between hating somebody and not hating them. You know? So, you know, if you have any opinions and thoughts on this, you can email me at victimsoffun@mail.com. And, or leave comment on the Facebook page, which is Victims of Fun, or go follow us on Instagram, which is Victims of Fun. But, yeah. So, I wanted to talk about that. It was serious enough to where I wanted to actually talk about it. So, we're going to take a break. And we'll come back with something completely different that hopefully will shock and offend everybody. I am going to get more sake. I'll be right back. And welcome back to part two of Victims of Fun. Live from Mr. Fujiwara's Top Ramen and Jazz Cafe. Here in the Chiba District of Tokyo, right across from the Sailor Moon store. What the heck is that noise? Oh God. But, yeah, this jazz thing is pretty cool. I mean, I don't know. I just never dealt with ramen and jazz before. I think it's more of a coffee shop thing, but, you know, whatever. It is what it is. And, here it is. So, it's pretty, I think it's pretty neat. I was reading this website where this guy talks about, I don't want to say conspiracy theories, but he talks more about, he thinks certain movies are actually not what they appear. Let me put it this way. He said there's some movies that are actually prequels or sequels to a totally different movie, but without actually telling you. And there's YouTube videos of people who put together these scene-by-scene things and list all the things that show that one movie is actually related to another. And, like, I'll give you a perfect example. So, you know, Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory, the Gene Wilder version, which is the only version, the Johnny Depp one they're going to pretend never existed. So Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory. One of the greatest movies ever made. Gene Wilder should have got an Oscar. You know, I've Got a Golden Ticket. You know, the Candyman can. You know, Veruca Salt and Augustus Gloop. And Oompa, Oompa, Doopa-Dee-Doo. I've Got Cocaine, It's Not For You. You know, that the Oompa Loompa is the whole thing. So, he said that the Korean film Snowpiercer, which stars Ed Harris and Chris Evans, is actually the sequel to Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And this video is like 45 minutes long. He's pointing out all the things that show you that Snowpiercer is actually... Now, Snowpiercer is about... It's a science fiction movie the world is frozen over, and what's left of the population on Earth lives on this nuclear, or this not nuclear power, it's some sort of, they live on a train that is constantly going around on a circular in a track. And the rich people live in the front of the train, and the workers and the poor peasants live in the back. And I guess there's not many people left on Earth if they're living on a train, but... And he says that Snowpiercer is actually the sequel to Willy Wonka. And you're thinking to yourself, are you kidding me? There's no way. But then he starts dropping truth bombs about, you know, his evidence. And Charlie's name in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory was Charlie Beckett, CB. Okay, that is the initials of the man running the train, Ed Harris. And this guy contends that Ed Harris's character is actually Charlie Beckett, because the initials, he's got a different name, but he's thinking that Charlie changed his name because after everything that had happened, and the initials CB are everywhere on the train. Charlie Beckett. Now, this train was powered by something they never actually quite explain somehow. In Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, they never explained what powered the factory either. They just said, well, you know, it kind of just does. They said the Oompa Loompas maintain the power source. Now, on the train, part of the story is that the train might be breaking down. And there are children on the train. And what happens is they take the children from the back and they bring them up to the engineering section to go in and work on this mysterious power source that keeps the train going. And Ed Harris's character makes a comment in the film that the reason they take the children from the back of the train is because the original workers who worked on the power source no longer exist, and the children are the only one who can fit down in the area where the power source is. And this guy says that means Oompa Loompas. The Oompa Loompas were the ones, because they were short, they were little people, that would go down there and maintain the power source like they did in the factory. And apparently the Oompa Loompas died out, which is why Charlie Beckett, Ed Harris, takes the children from the back, brings them to the front, and has them work on the power source, because the kids are the only ones the same size as the Oompa Loompas. There are characters in Snowpiercer that have the exact same personality traits as all the children in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Tilda Swinton, who's a fantastic English actress, her character in Snowpiercer is literally Veruca Salt grown up. Same accent, same way of speaking, same way of talking, moving, her clothes are almost the same. The way she behaves, Veruca Salt. Remember Slugworth from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory? He was supposedly the evil guy trying to... I don't remember if he was... His name was... No, Slugworth was the competitor, I think. But anyway, so... The guy who in Willy Wonka and Chocolate Factory were tempting the children to sneak a piece of the candy out for the Willy Wonka's competitor. Who in the end is revealed to be actually working for Willy Wonka to help determine which of the children is going to get the factory. John Hurt, before he passed away, is in this film. And his character basically is fulfilling the same role that this guy played in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. He even has the same glasses. He makes... there's a lot more points he makes about, you know, about the whole thing. But... He has a point. He presents a lot of evidence that shows that Willy Wonka is that Snowpiercer is actually the this sequel, Willy Wonka, in the Trolga Factory. I mean, he makes a very, very valid point of it being that. I'm going to try to see here. Okay, here. Here How Snowpiercer is the sequel to Willy Wonka and the Trolga Factory. This is off the Nerdist website here. I just want to read it here. Alright. Yeah, they're talking about how the... Both films are about a group of people who work their way through a fantastic structure full of unseen perils. One by one, someone is removed in each room until only one person makes it to the very end. That's the same as Willy Wonka. The last survivor then finds out that the entire thing was a test because a wealthy industrialist needed to find a new successor. Charlie Bucket grew up to be Wilford, the guy who's Ed Harris, who runs the Snowpiercer. I'm looking at the Nerdist list, and yeah, there's a lot of, if you go on the Nerdist website, you can read about it, and it's just, now, supposedly, yeah, if you look at it, and I'm looking at the pictures of it, and it even looks, the characters even look similar. Probably the most famous thing of this is that the most famous movie is that The Rock, Michael Bay's The Rock with Nicolas Cage and Sean Connery, is actually a James Bond movie. That Mason, Sean Connery's character in The Rock, is actually James Bond. Because if you look in the film, Mason is a ex-British Special Forces, just like James Bond was, you know, that he's been imprisoned in Alcatraz since, oh God, he's been there for a long time. But they point out in the timeline that, I forget the exact year, but when Sean Connery's character was thrown in jail, coincides with the last year of the official last Connery Bond film. They never talk about why he's in Alcatraz. But apparently he did something that went beyond what the British government ordered him to do and then wouldn't tell them or something. And he kept his mouth shut, so they threw him in Alcatraz. The Americans did. And the British, when the Americans arrested him, disavowed all knowledge of him. And that's how you ended up with George Lazenby and Roger Moore and then Timothy Dalton and everybody else. That also coincides with the theory that James Bond 007 is actually a code name. It's not a real name. Though I think it was Quantum of Solace that blew that theory out of the water, because Daniel Craig goes back to his childhood home, and it's the Bond estate and everything else. So they're saying that The Rock is actually a James Bond movie, because Connery even admitted in an interview that he is basically playing James Bond. He played the character like he was playing Bond. The mannerisms, the way of speaking, his fighting, his hand-to-hand fighting techniques were exactly the same as Connery's Bond. There was a lot of judo and a lot of chopping. Used the same type of pistol. I don't know if it's the same exact, because I think Bond used a P38 Walter, but he's pistolier, as Star Wars Galaxies would have told you. So they're saying that, hey, you know, actually, The Rock is a James Bond movie. Now, the weird thing is that years later, Sean Connery passed away within the past year. And after, supposedly after Connery passed away, they kind of confirmed that, yes, it was a James Bond movie, that just legally they couldn't use the name, but Michael Bay said, for all intents and purposes, I was directing a James Bond movie with Nicolas Cage and Sean Connery. And that Connery knew it and was perfectly happy with it, and just nobody ever said anything because, you know, you don't want to get in trouble, I guess, legality, they have to pay them royalties, whatever. The Rock is actually Michael Bay's best movie, by the way. But there's some new crazy one out now that says Avatar, James Cameron's Avatar, is actually a sequel to Titanic. I don't know where they get that from, considering the two films take place almost 1,000 years apart or whatever it is, but supposedly they said Avatar is a sequel to Titanic, which I have a really, really, really hard time. Really hard time agreeing with. I don't see how that is possible under the most fantastical circumstances. The Snowpiercer one makes a lot of sense because the evidence is really, 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 the evidence is laid out. Like, if you took it to court, you would win proving that Snowpiercer was a sequel. The Rock is more of a, you know, he doesn't actually ever come out and say, I'm Bond, James Bond, but there's enough hint dropping where Snowpiercer actually has visual evidence. The Rock is more like, huh, it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, so it must be a duck. Where Snowpiercer is more, here's the biological anatomy of a duck. It's nice to think that The Rock is a James Bond movie. I consider it a James Bond movie. And then I remember for a long time, until it was confirmed, that everybody was saying that Die Hard was a Christmas movie. And then, people would argue, is it a Christmas movie? Is it not? And then eventually the studio settled it by releasing a Christmas trailer of Die Hard, recut as a Christmas movie with Christmas music and the type of trailer that a Christmas movie would have. They released it. And the studio actually came out and said, yes, we consider this a Christmas movie. And now, if you look at the yearly listings of, like, the best Christmas movies to watch over the Christmas season, Die Hard's always on it. Bruce Willis says it's not a Christmas movie, it's a Bruce Willis movie, which it is. But Alan Rickman, who was dying day, always said it was a Christmas movie. It fits every, it clicks every box for a Christmas movie, Die Hard. It does. And most people, even film critics and everything, say yes, Die Hard actually is a Christmas movie. It's the most violent Christmas movie ever, but it's the only Christmas movie where you're going to see people snorting cocaine. But it's definitely a Christmas movie. But, you know, there's a lot of conspiracy. I don't want to say conspiracy theories. What would be a good term for that? A lot of, when you think something is related to something else, but you don't really have any official confirmation of it. Kind of like an illegitimate kid. Man, I ain't my kid. What would you call that? What would be the word? I don't even know. If you know it, email it to me. victimsoffun@mail.com. God, what would that be called? I'm like at a loss now. But, whatever. But yeah, I just find stuff like that fascinating. I mean, a lot of people just, they have a lot of time in their hands to be looking up stuff like that, you know. It's just, it's very, very, the amount of attention, the amount of time people put into certain things is just, there are people that go frame by frame in a movie and look for Easter eggs and then categorize them and catalog them. They literally will watch it frame by frame. Because now, you know, everything's digital. You can actually do that if you have like VLC media player or something. You can watch something frame by frame. And people will do that, and they will look for, they're called Easter eggs. They're called they're hidden background things that have that indicate that they're part of something else. Like one of the very first Easter eggs, if you remember Predator 2, after Danny Glover kills the Predator and the Predator ship is taking off, it's got a cabinet full of skulls, and in that cabinet was an alien xenomorph skull. That's actually how the whole alien Predator crossover thing began. The filmmakers of Predator 2 put it in as a joke because they said they put it in as a joke and they didn't think anybody would take it seriously because everybody knew that xenomorphs actually don't have skeletons because they're insects, basically. So they wouldn't have a skull. Because they don't. Xenomorphs are basically insects. They don't have a skull. They have a... what's the insect version of, like, chitlin or whatever it is. I'm not an insectologist. So insects don't have skulls because they don't have bones. But yet there was a bone alien skull in there. And that's how the whole alien predator thing. But that was the first, like, big Easter egg. And then I remember in Raiders of the Lost Ark, as he's looking at the hieroglyphics in the first movie, they have R2-D2 and C-3PO. I remember in The Phantom Menace and Watto's Junkyard, they have a model of the Discovery from 2001 Space Odyssey. So filmmakers will throw stuff like that in the background just as Easter eggs, as homages to films that they like or something. You know, they'll do that. And so there are people who will go through a film frame by frame looking for stuff like that. It's pretty, it's a lot of time. A lot of effort. I mean, they're doing that already on Kong vs. Godzilla. People are going through frame by frame looking for stuff. And I'm like, well, I don't know if you're going to find anything. But if you do, that's great. Whatever. You know, see, I love movies and stuff. But I'm not going to sit there and frame by frame something. Looking for something that may or may not be there. I mean, I'll let somebody else do all the work and I'll just take credit for it. I mean, that's the American way, isn't it? No, it's not. I'm sorry. My God. Now I'm going to get hate mail. You know, like I implied something I shouldn't have. I wonder if I could put Easter eggs on a podcast. Like, man, how many of you even do that? I don't know. So I got Twitch Studio, and for the life of me, I still can't figure out how to get this thing to work. And I'm getting kind of frustrated because I see people have all these great Twitch screens that have, like, moving animation on it, a whole bunch of other. I'm like, how the hell are they doing this? You know, I can't even figure out how to get the damn microphone to hook up to it. And these people have these Twitch screens of them playing League of Legends with them in the corner on a different camera, and they've got their chat going to the side. They have a little animated thing on the top that shows how many people are listening or liking or donating. And like, how do they do all that? I can't figure it out. But, you know, I wouldn't mind having a Twitch stream. I just don't want to be on camera. I mean, I can't, you know, I think the puppet thing would be, I think the puppet thing would just be way, way too much work. Because I'd have to be off camera, and a puppet would have to be in front of the camera, and I have to buy a camera because the web camera on this Mac isn't exactly the type of thing you'd want for a Twitch stream. I mean, it's good for like FaceTime and stuff, but I'd have to get something really, really good. And you guys aren't supporting me yet. You have to start sending me money so I can start improving the podcast. So hit that support button. Throw me some cash. You know. I've made 37 cents in advertising so far. Oh boy. I got enough to buy a White Castle. But I guess everything in good time. Good things come to those who wait. As a wise man once said. I don't know who that wise man was, but he said it, and so I'm going to agree with it. So that's probably about it for Victims of Fun this episode. Hope you've enjoyed it. Again, I want to thank Mr. Fujiwara's Top Ramen here in the Chiba District of Tokyo, right across from the Sailor Moon store, where every Thursday night we have a jazz band. Thank you to Anchor FM, the world's greatest and easiest podcasting software. Go to anchor.fm or on your mobile devices on the Google Play Store or on the App Store for Apple. Download it to your phones. It's free, it's easy, and you can be podcasting in under 10 minutes and putting your thoughts and views out to the entire internet, and they will monetize it for you, hook you up with advertisers, make some money, they'll distribute it to the platforms. All you gotta do is bring your voice. Isn't that great? Big shout out to Blue, best microphones on the planet. Got my Yeti Snowball right here, beautiful Apple Corporation MacBook Air M1, best laptop on the planet. And I hope everybody has a great week, or a great day, or whenever I feel like coming back. And there you go. I hope stay safe, stay happy. Make sure you email me at victimsoffun@mail.com. Follow us on Facebook at Victims of Fun. On Instagram, Victims of Fun. Look for us on Spotify and wherever else you listen to podcasting for Victims of Fun, or on the anchor.fm website. We're there too. Thank you, everybody. You stay safe and remember to love one another. Bye-bye.